Welcome to Undercard Supercast, number Barry Sanders. I'm your host, founder, editor, and rock and jock b-ball enthusiast of Undercard Superstar, Luke Irwin. Joining me tonight, he is the CEO of Booking Unreliable Guests of Undercard Superstar, Ben Cohn. Next up, he has an Edward Snowden dartboard in his room, Connor Dillon. Thirdly, we're all awaiting his inevitable heel turn, sweet boy Josh Hall. Lastly, he's already trying to reserve his tickets to Expendables 3 and Fast and Furious 7, Nolan Howell. Gentlemen, what it do, my nephews?
Oh, good. Lots of good stuff.
Thanks, guys. Awful as always with your transitions.
Look at this awesome book that I've been reading, although you probably can't read it right now.
Fighting Techniques of the Ancient World.
Ancient World. Sorry. Good stuff.
Let's get cracking, boys. We got a full docket on the, docket. Dateline Leiden, Holland. Shots fired. Gegard Mousasi doesn't approve of Vitor's hemming and hawing. Gegard told MMA Junkie, and I quote, "I'll make this easy on Vitor. If he's going to continue to make conditions on who he will fight, I will face Vitor at a catchweight or at light heavyweight. At the end of the day, I want to fight the guys. I want to fight the best guys for the title. I don't turn down fights," before adding, "Vitor is a fighter, and he's not getting any younger. He gets paid to fight and should get in there and do his job with or without the belt." Oh, snap! Guys, Gegard, Vitor, do you want to see it, and who takes that fight? Ben?
Depends where the fight takes place, really.
Whatever do you mean, Ben?
I mean... In Brazil, at 185, Vitor for sure takes that fight. Vitor, the young dinosaur.
But do you think it would happen at middleweight or light heavyweight?
If it happens,
Gegard said he's open to middleweight, 195, or light heavyweight.
I think if Vitor's smart, he'll take the fight at middleweight because he knows because it's well known Mousasi does not like to cut weight. So. I really think Vitor, if he's smart, can get a quality win. It won't really do much for him, but it will just keep him active, get him another paycheck, increase his profile, that fact that he beat quite a high-level striker as well. So I would say that Vitor, fighting at Brazil at 185, takes that fight. At 205... I think that
this has been. Come on, guys.
This is awesome.
I know.
You asked me where who wins.
I prematurely ejected you.
Oh, thanks, Luke.
At 195 or at 195 or 205 then.
Oh, where will it take place? Probably at 195. I would say if it happens.
And who takes it at 195?
Again, Vitor. I mean. Mousasi really doesn't like cutting weight from what he said himself.
Connor?
Will the fight happen? Possibly. I'd put the odds at 60-40 it happening. 60% chance that it would happen, 40% it wouldn't. It seems likely,
brave.
But at the same time, well, here's my thinking. It seems like a possibility, but Vitor is going to say, "Who have you beaten? Some Swedish fighter guy who isn't worth crap," you know, like that's what, and Jesus, and TRT, that's what VRT would say, VRT, that's what TRT,
that, we found Vitor's nickname, VRT,
I finally
clicked,
but if it happens, I'd probably say, it wound up being at Franklin weight, L195. And if it happens in Brazil, I'd definitely have to say Vitor would take it. If it happened in the U.S., I think Gegard Mousasi has a much higher chance of winning that fight.
Josh.
I don't see the fight taking place at 185. Vitor has made his
conditions very clear there. And I honestly, I'd like to see it happen, but I don't think it's going to. I think Vitor is going to duck this fight like the plague. I don't think he wants anything to do with Musashi because he doesn't have the name value to match up with the risk, I think, in Vitor's eyes. But if the fight were to happen, hypothetically, I would say it probably takes – it won't take place at middleweight, either Franklin weight or light heavy, but probably light heavy.
Here's a quick recap of Musashi's win coming since – July 1st/December 31st of 2009 into 2010, so the last 3 years or so. Gary Goodridge, Jake O'Brien, Tatsuya Mizuno, Hiroshi Izumi, Ovince St. Proy, his best win over Mike Kyle, and Ilir Latifi. Quite the murderous row.
Let me just interject that Gegard Mousasi probably
that he beat Mark Hunt?
Could have. Probably that he brought on the dementia for Gary Goodridge. So he legit retired a guy, and also Mike Kyle was about to be faded by Rumble, and he lucked out that he got Andrei Arlovski coming up.
Mars the limit. As far as this fight happening, I would love to see it happen. I don't think Gegard takes it at any weight. There's too much rust on him. He hasn't faced a legitimate striker in quarter past ever. And I think Vitor is too VR-teed it up that I don't think Musashi has much of a chance at any weight, even at 205. Like I said, I think Vitor just coasts. He's super Hawk right now.
He's super Hawk. That's amazing. That felt always going to be so happy to see.
Gegard, actually... That's right. Gegard's win over Mark Hunt was in the Super Hawk tournament. In a minute 19.
Noah, do you have an opinion on that?
Did that happen in some defunct organization that didn't matter? Some like bastard child of pride that didn't really matter?
Who are you to disparage Mariusz Zaromskis?
KSW, bro.
Melvin Manhoff. Oh, sorry.
I've heard that Mariusz Zaromskis takes off ears of old men.
He's the ear collector? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah. Sakuraba's ear on his wall.
Nolan.
That was Mike Tyson.
Nolan, enough with the Mark Hunt talk, okay? Even though I initiated it, there's the joke. What do you think of Musashi and Vitor?
VRT, too fast. He's obviously matured over the past year or so. He's
maybe not mentally.
He's hit puberty, and the sky's the limit for that guy. I mean, he's moving like he's 21. He's fighting like he's a Wing Chun punching Wanderlei Silva in the face. I don't think Musashi can handle him, especially if he gets it at 195 or 185. 205, maybe, but Musashi didn't look so great against Ilir Latifi. He likes to dictate the pace, kind of keep his jab poking, and decide to finish when he wants. And Belfort's going to be able to push the pace, get up in his face, and probably knock him out.
The thing is, Musashi was also fighting Latifi with a completely destroyed knee. So...
Counterpoint, it was Latifi. Dateline, Boston, Massachusetts. Free Chael! The gangster is given the thumbs up and is ready to ship up to Boston to fight Shogun Hua in the main event of the UFC Fight Night on Fox Sports 1. The licensing issue with Chael Sonnen, was it legit or was it frivolous? Connor, I'm going to let you take this one because you're pretty revved up about it.
Thank you. Thank you, Luke. First off, I'll start by saying that the Culinary Union is a horrible piece of shit. First off, I'm firmly on the side of the UFC that they're the reason why that UFC and MMA in general hasn't become legal in New York, the state yet.
Silver.
also Sheldon Silver, which brings me to the next part. And that's coming from Ben here.
I used to love his books when I was a kid.
Do you know I actually sidewalk know where he ends and I actually know where he vacations. I can find out his exact vacation, the house in the Bungalow Colony.
He wrote A Boy Named Sue for Johnny Cash.
Oh my God, guys. My thing is it was brought up by several different organizations that are connected to the Culinary Union. One which involves women's
National Organization of Women?
Women's Organization, NWO.
Yeah, NWO.
No, it's not
NWO.
National Organization.
I don't think it was the NWO.
Hollywood Hogan. Hollywood Hogan, guys. And as we've already seen, we've got Liz Carmouche, we've got, believe it or not, Ronda Rousey, Sarah McMahon, Misha Tate, all of these strong women, like, oh my God. And first off, if they're over here decrying Chael Sonnen's Pro Wrestler Act, why aren't they jumping on WWE or any of the NBA stars that go out and say the craziest mofo things, you know? Like, oh my God. There's so many things that I'm very upset about.
Because what Chael Sonnen does is real, and it gives the impression
so basketball is fake, and that it's staged. Because this is
actually the NBA. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
It's
not just
on,
me.
It's on
Tim
par
Donaghy.
Area.
Listen, 51. We're just gonna go kind of freeform here. Okay, if you want to not license him because of the TRT. And the banned substances, that's one thing. That's legitimate. But to ban a guy for, in essence, or to not license a fighter, a worker, for, in essence, being mean, no. No. You can put, you know, you can take his endorsements, put provisions on stuff, but basically, you know, for his comments about, no, you're trying to refuse a man his right to work because he said some things, in jest or not, that you thought was mean. You cannot not license a guy for being mean. That's absurd.
And here's the thing. You might actually have an actual – like, people misuse the First Amendment constantly. But you might have an actual First Amendment issue here if they went through with that because you have a government organization that would be denying him his right to work for speech that he made. And an employer can do that. The government, I mean, First Amendment says the government cannot regulate your speech. And if the Athletic Commission were to ban him on those grounds, that is a government organization that would be doing that. You have a legitimate First Amendment complaint then. The whole thing is bogus.
People misuse the First Amendment outrageously.
But this would actually be a legitimate case of it because it's a government organization doing it, not his employer.
Yeah. I
call my manager at McDonald's a fag, and then he fired me. Freedom of speech, I thought we had in this country. I'm going to move to Iran.
are we talking about the Iron Sheik?
Connor, if you don't
shut
up,
that should not have freedom
put you in the camel grouch clutch.
All right, I'll go in the camel grouch.
The Iron Sheik and the NWO with the camel grouch.
So who would win, the Iron Sheik or Chael Sonnen, Nolan?
Well,
one is not a broken down 80-year-old man.
Chael via America.
Yes, because I have some sort of delusion where I think a 70-year-old former crack addict can beat down Chael Sonnen.
But
I'll tell you what,
anybody.
Iron Sheik's shtick is still funny, at least.
I think Chael Sonnen's pretty funny.
Forget that. I don't know necessarily if his shtick is still funny.
And
I saw some of his quotes. He's not that. He's kind of just insane.
But regardless, what I was saying is, didn't they bring up the money laundering as an issue for the licensing?
He's already served his time.
But there's a really, really obscure rule that exists. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's certain crimes, even if they're a misdemeanor that were pled down to something that wasn't hardly anything.
Moral turpitude,
there you go. That if you are stuck with a crime that they consider crime. Moral turpitude, which, you know, is usually big crimes, but fraud falls under that category. That
being on
is
a playground.
Questionable grounds to do it, but it's some sort of a legal leg to try to stand on.
Yeah, because I believe that Brandon Saling got that treatment, I think, for one, for his beliefs, and two, because I think he statutory
sure
rape.
Yeah, Brandon Saling's a special kind of shit that deserves.
Well, if you put Brandon Saling in a ring or a cage with, you know, a minority opponent, there's actually real worry of danger to that person's life. What's Chael gonna do?
I think there's more.
Chael's gonna versus Brandon Saling. Let's make it.
Chael's gonna what? Like, give someone a false contract to sign in the cage? Like, it's oh man, apples and oranges.
Chael's gonna
swindle
you
out of cash
and caress your face. That's
yeah, like Emmanuel, like Emmanuel Newton.
Exactly.
All right. Dateline Glory Headquarters, Chevron House, Singapore. Glory has announced their official lineup for Glory 11 in Chicago, which is also their Spike debut, and will feature Tyrone Spong in the main event, as well as a four-man heavyweight tournament, which features Rico Verhoeven, Anderson Braddock Silva, Daniel Gita, and Gulkan Saki. Ben, your predictions for how the tournament will shake out.
I think we all know that.
Also, should we note that Verhoeven and Saki is one fight, and Silva and Gita is the other.
Well, they're clearly trying to set up Gita and Saki for a rematch. So,
three match,
which I think Saki won both of them. Actually,
you'd be correct.
He won the first one by decision, and the second one he won by KO or TKO.
Second round TKO.
Just destroyed him.
Yeah, so
I
think right now
it was like a bowling ball of fury.
Yeah, right now the number one is Saki and number two is Gita, if I'm not mistaken, in the world at heavyweight.
Now that Semi's retired, yeah, it goes
yeah.
Saki yeah,
since Semi
Gita.
Retired, if I'm
Semi's
retired.
Still on a lot of lists and a lot of ranking lists, but
because
yeah,
they think he might come back.
Well, I mean, it's a heart condition. He didn't lose his smile like Shawn Michaels. Nolan bait. It worked.
That was actually funny as hell.
All right.
Yeah. I'd say it's going to be Saki Gita in the finals. I really, really want Gita to win, but I think Saki takes it again.
Connor?
More or less, yeah. I'm gonna say that the end result is gonna be Gokhan Saki versus Daniel Gita, unless Silva is able to throw a monkey wrench somehow into the plan. And in that fight, I favor Saki. I don't think Gita will be able to take it. Now that said, in the next fights, Spong versus Corbett. I think Spong is going to win.
Way to go out on a limb there, Connor.
Yeah,
way to go on a limb there, yeah, guys. And the last
hot
fight,
sports take coming in.
And the last fight between Bazooka Joe Valtellini and Kareem Gaji. Well, I mean, I like that nickname, so I'm going with Bazooka Joe there.
Connor, you have the comedic timing of Bazooka Joe.
You know, while we're here, never mind. Okay, continue.
No, I'm just gonna let that hang in the air for a while.
No. Josh, what about your opinion?
Okay,
Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly on a mission here. This is more obvious than the Bellator matchmaking of their tournaments of what the end game is. But, I mean, I'm never opposed to seeing Saki and Gita fight. They can fight 15 times, and I'm going to watch all 15, and I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it. I'm a huge Gita fan, but Saki's got his number. And Saki should win this tournament. Spong should obviously get a very impressive-looking win. And, Connor, you're very wrong in picking Bazooka Joe. He has 9 fights against a guy who's got 85 wins in Gaji and like a litany of career achievements. So just want to let you know you're very, very incorrect.
Before we talk about that, how many times have I seen a TIE fighter go into kickboxing and have, you know, like 285 wins, 35 losses, and, you know, 3 or 4 draws, and fight somebody with 11 fights and lose? Like, come on now. It's not going to work that way.
Fights are over a bunch of Americans for the most part.
Connor, you know how prepared Josh gets for these.
His first 6 fights were American, so he has 3 fights that he has won that are not against American fighters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. That's just.
I'm just saying.
What do you have against Americans, Josh? Are you a bigot?
What are you?
I absolutely loathe Americans just a little less than everyone else.
I'm gonna call Ben Askren, and he's gonna slide. He's gonna pet your face for 5 rounds.
Well, Josh, right. I am a real American,
and he's gonna fight for the rights of every man.
Wait, he fights for what's right.
He's getting. You're going to call Ben Askren to do that to you.
Way to let us down, Ben.
Nobody
is going to chime in there.
Ben was too busy talking to try to finish a good pun we had going.
I wouldn't let.
I couldn't.
Yeah, you let us down, boat yins.
Lettuce.
What?
It's not kosher. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, you said you let us. You said let us. So
Ben. Shut the fuck up.
Well, fuck you, Luke.
All right. Geeta is a monster, and I think he's actually more technically proficient than Gokkan. But you know what? Lyoto had Shogun. Matt Hughes had Dennis Hallman. Shane Mosley had Vernon Forrest. Sometimes some guys just have your number. And I think Geeta is ever going to – he could be the number 2 or he could be the number 1 kickboxer in the world. But it won't be through Gokkan. I think Saki just – whatever it is, Saki just has it on him. And obviously it's going to come down to Geeta and Saki in the finals. And the Turkish-born Saki will take it. By decision, I'm going to go. Geeta won't be so stupid as to put himself in a position to get TKO'd twice. And he looked like a monster in his last fight. I think it was Glory – it was the Glory in New York. He looked like a God-blessed – beast. Roland Nolan?
You know, I've seen Saki fight quite a bit, and he's very talented, but one thing that really soured me on him is losing to, I believe it was post-jail Bader Ari, correct? Was he out of jail, or?
I think that might have been his first fight out. It was in...
January of 2012.
January of 2012. Yeah.
So
Saki's last 4 losses are to Semi, Botter, Overeem, and Ertz. Like, that's not, you know, not exactly – it's not nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, but I don't know. I kind of think Bader Ari's shot. But at the same time, as you guys said, Gokkan Saki has
– No, he's going to get shot, Nolan. There's a difference.
Yeah, Saki has Geeta's number, but I have a lot of confidence in Geeta. He's one of my favorite kickboxers at right now, and I think that he's going to finally find a game plan, or at least be more competitive than the last fight, which will be good enough. I'll take Geeta to win.
All right. Fair enough.
Going against the grain, hipster Nolan.
Oh, look at you with your thoughts. Dateline, Los Angeles, California. Speaking of Fox Sports 1, we are 9 days from launch. Now, guys, any one of you could be named head of programming at Fox Sports 1 tomorrow. I mean, in theory. What's one UFC-related piece of programming that you would absolutely insist on having on your Fox Sports 1? Ben? I know you may not run a documentary on the best Jewish MMA fighters of all time.
Modi Horst.
I think that was that one guy on Tough, and that's it. And he got eliminated in the first round, in the prelim round, whatever.
Ben, how dare you forget your comrade, Modi Hornstein?
I don't know if it counts.
That's not a real person. That's That name is so stereotypically Jewish, I think I'm offended, and I'm Protestant.
He was a legend of the early UFC.
Moti Horstein? He sounds like my Jewish accountant's Jewish accountant.
He's the guy who Mark Coleman first beat the shit out of
in a pro wrestling match.
He's guilty of money laundering in 14 countries.
He was Mark Coleman's first fight.
All right, guys, we have a lot of fun here.
Yeah.
Jewish people. Okay. All right, Ben, go ahead.
What would I want as my number one program? Like, insist for.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, but like, what if they go? You know, you, Ben Cohn, because your people work in Hollywood. What must you have? What would you love to have in your Fox Sports 1 lineup? UFC related.
I think they need to go, like, when they really need to make it incredibly polished. If they're making a move from FX to this Fox Sports 1 thing, they need to make sure it goes as smoothly as possible.
You know? No more robots given a rock bottom in the middle of the cage?
That would be – I mean, they kind of do that with their NFL too, so I guess I get what they're doing with that. But I feel like they have to make sure there are no awkward moments with John Anik and Dominic Cruz staring at each other, not sure what to do, and then realizing they're on air.
That's one of the greatest moments ever. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's one of the greatest moments ever. But they cannot have that in their initial debut. So they need to do everything in their power to make it as polished as possible.
That was the moment that they found out.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
What were you saying?
Nothing.
Okay, they need to have as much Brian Stan as possible.
No, man. He signed out. He's not going to. He signed with the ACC Network.
He's going to do not the analyst AC... work for college football.
Crap. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's ACC Network, but he signed to – he's got a contract there, man.
Crap.
Bisping and Chael and Kenneth Flo.
Okay, so it's Bisping, Chael, Kenneth Flo. That's actually not bad at all. That's really Rashad's not bad good. At all.
God.
Chael – Rashad's great. Chael's great. Bisbing's really good. He's very surprisingly very good with it. And on the Fox card, I think Bisbing spoke about how he's picking with his heart, but he did it in a very professional way, and it's very interesting that he was able to pull that off. So get the guys you know are able to do it well in the booth.
Bisping actually acknowledged that British fighters' biggest weakness is wrestling, last card.
Exactly what I mean. It was very interesting to see that. And I really enjoyed his brutal honesty. So that was fun. Who's doing the commentary? It's going to be Rogan and Goldberg?
Probably, because it's
For FS1?
Oh, poop. I guess they're gonna put their most familiar faces so that'll like people hear that and be familiar with it. So I guess that's not a bad idea either. How many fights are on the main card?
They're showing the entire fight card.
Not the Facebook preliminaries.
Really?
There's three Facebook preliminaries.
I don't think that would be a good idea. I don't think 11 fights in a row is good because you're gonna have a hard time keeping people tuned in. So
it'll be 10 fights. There's 6 fights on the main card, 4 on the Fox Sports 1 preliminary, and then 3 on Facebook.
And it's loaded with action fights. So
that's fine.
/YouTube.
And I really, believe it or not, I really am kind of looking forward to this Sonnen Shogun fight, you know, because
we are. That's a separate topic, Ben. We're gonna get into that.
All right. So, what do I need to have on there? I mean, basically, just keep it as professional as possible. No screw ups, no glitches, and I really, really hope that Rogan and Goldberg don't yell at that Rogan and Dana don't start yelling at the camera.
To buy a channel they already have.
Exactly.
Like yelling at the end of the prelims, even though it's gonna be on the same channel.
Oh my god.
Keep it tuned right here. Don't move.
Seriously, don't move.
Nolan, what kind of Pop-Tarts do you have today?
He went with something healthy. chocolate cookie dough.
Nolan, what the hell was that? You just looked at the camera for 5 seconds like you were on like one of those camera delays.
I think he finally had a diabetic stroke.
I think there was a
he's having a heart attack.
Strawberry. But I'm counteracting that with zero calorie sports drink.
It just says sports drink.
Straight from the great mom and pop organization, Walmart.
God. I was gonna say, what's like, what grocery store did you go buy it at? Like supermarket or sports drink?
Good old Walmart for 68 cents.
Do you even get real Pop Tarts, or do you get like the off brand ones that?
Oh no, that's an expense I can't
breakfast
cut back
pastries.
On. But I do eat. I think they were Toast'em pop-ups is what they called them.
Dude, there's no way that sports drink isn't just like purple Chili Willy. There's no way. Connor, you're running programming.
All right, so if I'm running programming, now there's a big difference here between making things nice and functional and programming. Programming means you're getting interesting pieces on air. What Ben was talking about was mostly just...
Ooh, look at you, college boy. Pipe the fuck down if I were you. Connor, you can pay
careful,
for school,
I'll...
but you can't buy class.
Yeah, no. It's because he's Jewish. So, anyways...
Wow.
Hey, at least someone said it. Yes, Ben.
Wow. I said it!
I know, that's what... Never mind. Okay. So, anyways, if I was going to get programming, something I would do is I would have a I would probably want to do, like, this is just kind of my kind of thing, is maybe, like, a history series of the UFC. Think about it like this. If I've got all this money and I've got a bunch of time, I want people to get in-depth with the program. I'd want to teach them. And so you could be like, from this Zuffa era to this Zuffa era, ignore everything prior, the SEG-owned UFC. Like, this is when we started working it, you know?
You'd be a great minister of propaganda for a socialist party.
More or less. So that's what I'd want to see. I'd want to see them do historical pieces and be like, in this year, these were the great fights, and tell history through the fights of the UFC organization.
Oh, what's a Frank Shamrock?
Exactly. I've never heard that name. There's Ken Shamrock, though, because he fought Tito Ortiz.
He certainly did, sort of. Josh,
no,
what would you like to see?
Now, too, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. He can no longer corner his son in any UFC fights coming up. Josh?
Okay.
It would just show the Lesnar couture.
Your
fight.
Name is not Josh. Shut the fuck up.
Sorry, I would say.
Oh, Hollywood Josh Hall. The heel turn's coming. He keeps hinting at it on Nitro.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm 100% face.
He is. You're hinting at it.
All right.
All right, John Cena.
For the love of God.
You said Yikes. It.
Jesus, man. Okay, from what I understand about the channel itself, it's going to be basically their version of ESPN, right? It's going to be sports all the time. Just, you know, that's going to be their answer to that, since ESPN is terrible and no one likes it, but everyone watches it because it's got the more access than anybody else. I would like to see them do something similar to what they had on ESPN, but was awful because it was ESPN and had idiots like Franklin McNeil on there, talking about the jiu-jitsu skills of Clay Guida for submitting Rafael Dos Anjos after he broke his jaw.
Yeah.
But a really good, sharp MMA live type show on Fox Sports with all the full UFC access and not the ESPN idiots covering it, actual legitimate analysts. You don't have to run it nightly, but you certainly have the option. And if this is going to be a sports network with a UFC emphasis, you need something of the sort where fans don't have to go online to get their news. They can go on, catch a 30-minute episode, be caught up, and you can build more of a general sports fan base like other sports have.
So who would you have on there? Because you said analysts, right? So would you have the UFC fighters, you know, Rashad Evans, Chael Sonnen, Bisping? Would you have them on there, or would you also try and go for people like Errol Helwani?
If I was going to throw any names out there, somebody like maybe Luke Thomas to run the show. I like what he did on MMA Uncensored, even though the show wasn't particularly good. I enjoyed his work on there. somebody like that, bring in a few rotating UFC guys to come in and talk about it. You'll get more of an insider perspective than you were ever going to get on MMA Live.
Doesn't Luke Thomas have, like, a big – he's not – he didn't even consider the he didn't even consider doing the rankings for the UFC, and he got an invite for him or something like that, right?
I mean, it was just – that was just a name I was throwing out there of somebody off the top of my head that I wouldn't mind seeing do it. I mean, there's other people that – you can get somebody who can handle just the hosting role and have the majority of the analyst work done by a rotating group of fighters.
According to a source, Wednesday night is going to be all UFC – first run, then with syndication after, per Lorenzo's State of the Union. So Wednesday night is going to be UFC night. And that's when the fight nights will be taking place too, I believe.
So is that official? They've gone back to using the fight night names?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so.
Versus UFC on Fox Sports 1, 2, Shogun versus Hua, or Shogun versus Machida 3. Yeah. 4 to 5 hours of new programming every Wednesday. Now, I like fight cards on the weekday. You know, Monday night it can work. All the major sports run on the weekdays. Monday night football, obviously. I mean, I'm perfectly okay with getting away from the weekend model. Let's see. From the five of us here, if I can count the number of diehard hockey fans on one finger, that'd be me. And I love HBO's 24/7. I love the hell out of it. Unfortunately, they've gotten into a little bit of a rut when it comes to 24/7 on boxing because the only 24/7 fighter they do anymore is Floyd, and Floyd, we fucking get it. Okay, he has lots of money and his uncle's crazy. We all get it. But 24/7 for – I know they do UFC primetime, but it's a little bush. 24/7, when you really get in there, you get gritty, really kind of get the access in there behind the scenes. No sport is more dependent on personalities than MMA. Not a single one. The fighters are all out there and you are looking for a reason to cheer for them. Why should I root for this guy over this guy? 24/7 would give you that opportunity, as well as it would attract more sponsors to fighters. It's just, if they really try to outdo HBO in 24/7 and commit to a programming like that, that's what I would have to see. That's what I would have on Luke Irwin's Fox Sports 1, sponsored by Alienware. Nolan?
I like some of the stuff they're doing already. I believe one night they're running part one and part two of Ultimate 100 Knockouts, which will be a good kind of like Connor said, it will be kind of a good historical piece where they're incorporating fights from Pride. Not sure if they're incorporating Affliction and IFL or whatever they own, you know. But
Elite XC.
Mm-hmm. I thought Strikeforce.
Oh, dude, if they had like a Strikeforce marathon, I would be glued to the set like that little creepy kid in Poltergeist. Man, you would have – Wild Dogs could not tear me away from a Strikeforce marathon.
I think
– That's a good analogy.
I think Showtime owns – well, I guess UFC would own the
– Fight Library.
Zuffa Broadcasts.
They use Strikeforce footage in their promos.
Yeah. But they don't use anything else. You very rarely
still
will use
too fresh.
I remember the Jose Maria Tomei. They just had shadow boxing images. For some reason they just didn't show any of his old stuff.
They do that with a lot of fighters though.
Yeah, it's very annoying. I think that you just show is regional stuff. It makes no sense not to, you know.
No, you got to buy it from them.
Yeah. It's
yeah. Yeah, but I would like you can still do the countdowns because that's mostly clip show type of thing. I would like a 24/7 series as well, documenting your main event fighters. Builds more stars. You see in boxing a lot on 24/7s, you get bigger, bigger stars out of that, like Robert Guerrero's dad versus Floyd's dad.
And you could say a large part of Floyd's popularity is because of 24/7, you know, because he was the unknown when he fought De La Hoya.
Like talking on his money for $50.
Well, beating De La Hoya kind of, you know.
Didn't beat De La Hoya.
What?
But yeah, my idea is basically like just a mashup of your guys' ideas. UFC tonight needs some more polish. It's become kind of stagnant. Pretty much every show is Chael Sonnen, Kenny Florian review stuff. Sonnen cuts a mini promo that sucks. Ariel Helwani comes on and cowers in front of them. The end.
Trembles with his awful voice. So, guys, when we're talking about...
Yeah, a more official show like that that dives deep. There's a lot of potential there. I mean, with all that programming they need to fill, we'll see what happens.
Dateline, we're going back to Boston, Massachusetts. Boys, UFC Fight Night, Shogun versus Sonnen is in nine quick days that will fly by. What fight on the card are you most looking forward to, Ben Cohn?
Shogun Sonnen. I really am. I mean,
That fight does nothing for either of them. There's nothing at stake.
It puts the nail in Shogun's coffin.
It's one guy fighting at a bad weight class against another guy who can't even, who should be probably at middleweight.
So here's the thing. Shogun, he's very, very good in scrambles. He's an excellent scrambler.
Sonnen of eggs?
Yes, of eggs. And
because he has no gas tank. He's
got exactly. Anyway, so Shogun's going to make it interesting on the ground, I think. And that's where it's going to end up. Because Shogun's historically, he's got okay takedown defense, not great. And I really think it's going to be interesting to see on the ground because Shogun's gas tank against Gustafsson in his last fight was not as terrible. It really – he kind of
– It was the magic red trunks.
I don't know what it was. Those red trunks
were reversing Gustafsson.
Oh, all his white trunks had red anyway.
Yeah, he kept sweeping Gustafsson with that half-guard sweep.
You see what I mean? That's exactly why I can't wait for it because – Sonnen's kryptonite has always been jiu-jitsu. There's no two ways around it. He's always had issues with guys who have great jiu-jitsu. Shogun is not a submission guy necessarily. It's even on top, he's a ground-and-pound guy. On bottom, he goes for leg locks, which usually turn into sweeps anyway, or get back to his feet.
I think he tried to leg lock Hendo 47 times, if I'm not mistaken, in their fight.
Yeah. So and plus, Sonnen's not going to finish him. There's no way. He doesn't have the powerful ground and pound. He doesn't have the submission skills. He doesn't have the striking to put him out on his feet. Obviously, I think that this can be a really fun, scrambly, albeit a little sloppy. Probably it'll be a fun fight. You know, just to sit and enjoy. That's why I really.
It's a strike force. It's a strike force fight.
No, it's not a squash match. It's not a strike force fight.
How dare you? How dare you, Ben?
Paul Bailey versus Nick Diaz. Greatest early stoppage ever.
Ugh.
Anyways.
Strikeforce has the fun fights.
But what did he hit him with? I watched that fight so many times.
You mean where Daly went down 3 seconds after being hit with nothing? That was a weird sequence there.
He kind of just like was moving forward. Suddenly he's falling over, bending his left knee, and just collapses.
Well, yeah, it was... It might have been a liver shot, or either he was wobbled and he was using the cage because that occurred right next to the cage, I believe.
Yeah, so but he wasn't leaning on the cage. That's what I'm saying. He was standing on his own, and then he just kind of went all stanky leg.
Yeah, no, he pulled a Rashad Evans there.
It really made no sense because
slipped on that Kevin Randleman pipe.
It's just that Diaz was already backing away when he got knocked out, for lack of better. I don't know what
it was. It was strange. Still, strike force. Never die.
Yeah.
Connor, which one are you looking forward to the most on this card?
All right, so for this one, I'm going to share my screen to y'all, and then I'm going to...
Connor, last time you shared your screen with me, the feds came to my door and wanted to ask me questions.
Well, I'm sorry that was your problem.
To our wonderful listeners, search Connor Dillon on Bing and go to
But
Andrews.
You have to have your safe search off because...
Or don't
otherwise...
and be better for it. Either way.
All right, so everyone...
I'm sorry.
Do me a favor here and...
Wow, Connor, she looks very
look at
young.
This. Look at this.
We can't.
You see this fight?
Oh, Connor Dillon.
I believe they call Connor. That a Roman war helmet.
What are we talking about?
I'm not sure. I don't think anyone knows right now.
Why All is right, his? So, why is her uncle there? That seems weird.
So what I'm talking about is fight I want to see is Conor McGregor versus Max Holloway. I think that's going to be, honestly, the fight of the night. Because Max Holloway brings it, and Conor McGregor looked absolutely demolishing in his last fight. I've gone back and I've looked through his older fights, and they've all been exciting. So I really think, even if it goes to a decision, I think it'll be fantastic.
Has Conor ever faced a good wrestler?
Well, this is Europe, so there's not necessarily a lot of great wrestlers. Mm-hmm. In his early career, this is the only issue that I've seen. Well, Marcus Brumage technically was a very nice wrestler.
But he's a striker by trade.
Yeah.
It's Great Britain.
Yeah, and so the two times that, and this was before Ireland. He started, he recently was in a, was it ADCC or was it a, he was recently in a grappling contest, but earlier in his career, he lost by submission. That's the only way he's lost, and he lost twice, and it both happened in the first minute of the first round.
A knee bar. First 40 triangle. Seconds of the first round.
Yeah. A knee bar and then an arm triangle. Mm-hmm. I tried to find the knee bar one, but I couldn't find it, so mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you what happened.
Dude, besides Brimage, the only fighter that he's faced that I've even heard of is Artur Sawinski. And he's a Polish striker.
Like, he did beat Conor Dillon's ass.
He did beat Conor Dillon.
KSW vet.
He
fought the most Irish dudes ever. Joseph Duffy, Paddy Doherty, Hugh Brady, Stephen Bailey.
But yeah,
it's like an Irish parade.
These fights all held at pubs?
Actually,
I've never heard of any of these guys.
English and Irish.
Josh, what are you looking forward to?
It's hard to pick one fight on this card because honestly, some really fun ones. I'm getting there, motherfucker. Hold on.
Hollywood Josh Hall, language.
Matt Brown, Mike Pyle.
I want you to dye your beard blur.
Matt Brown.
What was that?
Pyle.
Which one?
Matt Brown, Mike Pyle. That fight is going to be explosive, and I don't know who's going to win, but somebody's getting finished. And
well,
both
of those guys, it looks like it sucks to fight them so much. Like fighting Matt Brown and fighting Mike Pyle is just like a miserable. You can add Mike Pierce is on that team too.
And the winner of this fight should get a legitimate like contender to fight next because both of these guys are so close right now.
Holy shit!
Probably
I just thought about something.
Winner probably faces Aldis.
Matt Brown, Jake Ellenberger.
Well, if Jake shows up looking the way he did against Rory,
that he'll still be able to. No, Matt's not going to be sitting there jabbing him.
No, but Matt's just going to come at him, and then he's going to probably get knocked out violently were that to happen.
Jake Ellenberger would take him to the mat where Matt Brown would give a disgrace to his nickname as the American Kazuchi Sakuraba.
Wait, who gave him that nickname?
Who gave him that nickname?
I have no clue, but it was listed on his Wikipedia just like Black Fedor was for Daniel Cormier.
I think, by the way, Matt Brown's offensive submission game is actually pretty good. His defensive was always his issue, and he seems to have shored those defensive deficiencies up a little bit.
It's not fair to talk about the Rory Ellenberger fight unless you have Bordeaux in the chat window throwing jabs.
Yeah.
I'm going a little off the board with my pick, but the fight that I'm really looking forward to, and it's such a piece of shit situation that it's not on the main card, yet Uriah Hall and John Howard is for their, you know, tough winner Chubb love. But Brad Pickett and Mayday McDonald, love it, man. Love it. Nolan, it appears as if I stole your answer.
Yes, because I'm going to once.
Josh has stolen my answer for these things 492 times in the 20 shows that we've filmed.
And he's kept count, so.
Yeah, I really love that Pickett McDonald.
It's gonna be
no words, man. It's gonna be awesome.
How about Fable that will be fight too, of the night? It's like an honorable as a fight of the night possibility. Alcantara has just been destroying people, and Faber kills all the guys like this.
But here's the thing: Alcantara has not faced anybody near the level of Faber. Like, not even close.
No, I know he hasn't. That's why the fight interests me, because he's run through everybody below that level, and now he's got a
he's not ready. Show.
But he's not ready for Faber.
He's not ready
Come on.
I mean, we all.
So the other guy, what's his name? Hakran Diaz.
We all get our panties in a bunch sometime about Faber getting his, you know, unlimited title shots, but man, if Uriah just stays as like a super high level gatekeeper, he's fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, Uriah's good.
People forget that Uriah is a fantastic fighter.
He is not just a fantastic fighter. He's in no matter what, whatever division he's in, there's always that person, that one or two guys who just are perfect to stop his style. At featherweight, Matt, it was Mike Brown, Jose Aldo, Dominic Cruz. He can't get over that hump. Pettin Barrell. It's just there's always he just can't get over that. He's just always the number two or three guy, and he'll. I don't think he'll be able to get out of that. I think that he's just that step below Pettin Barrell and Dominic Cruz. And at featherweight, Jose Aldo and like a guy like Mike Brown at the time.
All right, guys, believe
in
it or not,
I didn't.
Go ahead.
Yes,
Nolan.
In fairness, I didn't think I didn't think Faber would look as bad as he did against Jorgensen. Not to say he looked awful, but I didn't think Jorgensen would land as much on him as he did.
It was weird.
Jorgensen's not.
Jorgensen's really good, though. He's just not Faber good.
Here's the thing with Jorgensen.
Yeah, that's why it surprised me. And also, Uriah Faber's speed.
What?
Nolan's apparently on a 28.6K modem. Maybe we can all chip in and buy him a 56K.
Here's the thing.
No,
in that
I'm
fight.
Still here. Just
here's the thing in that fight. Faber was really looking great the first two rounds. He was outlanding him. He was too fast. And then in the third, he kind of just something happened. And then in the fourth, he looked better than he did the first two rounds and finished him. It was really weird. Like he got like a. It was kind of like the Zombie Poirier fight. Poirier's best round was the third, and Zombie's best round was the fourth.
All right, guys, believe it or not, there actually are fights this weekend. World Series of Fighting 4 from Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario, California is on NBC Sports. We're just going to do some quick picks on the main card, and that'll be it for this week. I'll name the fight. You go around, give me a one-name answer, and that will be that. Main event, Angel or Aniel DeAnda takes on Tyrone Spong. Ben.
Spong, KO.
Connor.
Spong.
Josh.
Spong.
Nolan.
Spong.
And I will be taking Tyrone, King of the Ring Spong myself. This one here gets a little trickier. Josias Jay-Z Cavalcante against Tyson Griffin. Ben.
Griffin.
Connor.
Man, that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Griffin, too.
Josh.
Oh, Cavalcante.
Nolan?
Griffin.
And I will be going with Tyson Griffin.
I just feel like he's a little less shot than Jay-Z.
They're both, like, two of the biggest underachievers in the division ever.
Well, Jay-Z's going to go – it depends on if crappy boxing Jay-Z shows up or if he actually – But odds are crappy boxing Jay-Z's.
Even if crappy boxing Jay-Z doesn't show up, will he be able to take down Tyson and keep him down, you know? Tyson's...
Crappy boxing Jay-Z, who is now signed to Glory. That's not a joke.
That's
him versus, him versus
that's a true, is
the first joke, that, right?
That's a true fact. Jay-Z is signed by Glory.
That's actually a joke.
Well,
Giorgio Petrosian versus Jay-Z Cavalcante. Let's make it happen.
Jay-Z somehow by Giorgio submission.
Would still win. Somehow he'd still win by he'd still go to the distance.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Next fight, Dave Huckaba and Ray Sefo. Ben.
Ray.
Connor.
Sefo.
Josh.
I don't think they booked Sefo on this card to lose, so.
Yeah, we'll no, it's how it's we'll his organization and all. Nolan Howell.
Huckaba.
I'm going with Sefo. Huckaba seems he's one of those guys that's just good enough to get into like a Bellator tournament, but bad enough to where he always loses in the first round. That's his kind of ceiling. Like he's like that he should be headlining shark fights and winning an ugly decision. Next up, Gerald Harris against George Santiago. Ooh. Ben.
Santiago seems to win, so outside the UFC, so Santiago.
Connor?
Gerald Harris.
Josh.
Santiago.
Nolan.
That's a tough fight. I have to go Santiago as well.
I will go Santiago by strikes as well. Featherweight. No, Bantamweight, actually. I'm sorry. Brandon Hempelman versus Marlon Moraes. Ben.
Moraes.
Connor.
Moraes.
Josh.
Moraes is a fireball. He's going to win this fight violently.
Mm-hmm. Looks like he found his niche in World Series, which is nice to see. Nolan? Mm-hmm.
Marias.
And I will go with Marias as well. And lastly, Keon Caldwell and Nick Newell. Ben.
I kind of want Newell to win just because it'll be interesting. I want him to win well enough fights that the UFC can't ignore him just to see what happens. So, no.
Connor?
I think Newell will win.
Josh?
I'm a huge Nick Newell fan. I think this is a fight he can win. I'll take Newell.
Connor?
I already said Newell.
I'm not talking to you. You know who I meant, Nolan. I'm turning in my grandmother. Going through the entire roster of grandkids before she lands on me.
Old man
Nolan.
Problems.
Newell.
I'm going to take Caldwell here because at some point, someone is going to have to actually test out Newell striking. I mean, you can't ignore it forever. And so if someone just keeps him at a distance, works, you know, striking on his, you know, like I guess you can say his ungloved hand, his offhand, because he has no defense. You know, people just love to like to rush in, and then Newell's good enough where he'll just wrap you up, and that'll be that. Caldwell's a striker. I think even if it's just an ugly decision win, he keeps his distance. He doesn't get sucked in. And like I said, he only has one glove to defend with. You work to the offhand, and then – wait. Newell can strike with his other hand, right?
He strikes with both hands. He'll throw the nub in the stand up.
He will.
Like an elbow.
Interesting. But he doesn't have the reach.
Newell that's interesting though is that guys can't prepare for what he does because it's so unorthodox. You can't bring somebody in to train for that. And his wrestling, his grappling is so good, and it's so strong. And his weight class is completely off from his strength level because of the appendage missing.
That's not true, Ben. Keon Caldwell brought in Rick Allen to his camp.
Hold on a second. Why'd you just call Josh Ben?
Yeah, why'd you call him Ben?
All right,
you know who you are. That's it. We're going to a two-man mic from now on. This is absurd. So, yes, I think Caldwell finally utilizes the reach disadvantage that a man with no hand has and takes a decision win via striking. Guys, this will do it for this week. Before we go, one word to describe Ben Cohn.
Oh, shit.
Ben?
I think Ben just answered it. Shit. I'm pretty sure he just answered his turn. So right. I'll think I'll take it off.
This is gonna suck so much.
Pass. I'll come back later.
You will answer right now, or you will get no turn. Fair. You can't have any pudding if you don't eat your meat, Connor.
And how can you have any meat if you don't eat your pudding?
Well, since Connor can't say anything, the correct answer is kosher.
Yeah. Exactly.
Josh.
That's what I just said.
Oh, I thought you were speaking for Connor.
No, yeah. I'll take it.
All right. Kosher's off the board.
Hey, you want me to say more?
Yes, Josh.
Oh. I'm giving you two words. Jiu-jitsu.
This guy! Calm down, see Hicks and Gracie. Nolan?
Since Josh got two words, I'm going to do to myself the worst.
Drop the mic.
Not just worst.
Away.
Worst isn't good enough. You have to have the V in there for the second word.
And I will also will go two words, but you can hyphenate it in bed. All right.
No.
That will do it for this week. We'll see you next week on a new installment of Undercard Supercast. I've been your host, Luke Irwin, and you have not.